Hello.
Hey, boy. Oh, sorry. Gemma, it was my turn to do the introduction.
Yeah,
God damn it.
I knew that, but because you didn't start right away, I thought that you'd forgotten. So I thought I'd better jump in and save the day.
Oh, well. Well, anyway, hello, boys and gals and non-binary pals and my interruptive co-host, Gemma O'Leary. I was almost going to say Gemma Arterton, but that's not you.
Whoa. Oh, no,
I wish I was doing a podcast with her.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thanks, Heather.
Oh.
Free.
She's a movie star. She had inside
yeah, I
want to
be a Bond girl too, okay? And maybe one day I will be.
Yeah, a girl can dream, Gemma.
Yeah.
How are you, my little Bond? You could be my Bond girl.
Oh,
I'll
thanks,
be your
Heather.
James Bond. Do you know, in primary school, I had this game with my friends Naomi and Denise that we pretended we were James Bond's daughters. And I was called Jean Bond, and one was called Janet Bond, and one was called, like, Jessica Bond. And then on the computer, me and my mom made me, like, a card, I guess, like an ID card, and it said, like, Jean Bond 008.
Oh, that and, like, is so and, like, cute.
And a phone number. Obviously, I didn't have a phone at that point, so it was, like, 1,000 numbers. Like, it wasn't realistic because I didn't know how many numbers. So cute. I had a little icon, like a little emoticon, like a rose or something. Yeah,
that is
she classified
adorable.
And everything for me.
Oh,
so,
Margo,
my
what
cute
a sweet
mom.
Yeah, she's the best.
She is the best.
Heather, when you were growing up in Holland, was there some kind of, like, fashion for, like, English names? Because every time you mention, like, a friend of yours from primary school, I imagine that they'll have, like, a Dutch name, but instead it's, like, Naomi, Denise. Like, they're, like, Coronation Street characters. Like, was it, like, just really fashionable for, like, kind of slightly, like, like, English names? Was there?
Well, let me ask you one thing first. What do you think is a Dutch name?
Oh, God. Well, like your friends that I know, like Amarins and Marga and, I don't know, Anna.
True. Amarins is a Dutch name.
What's the one with the name that begins with M that you used to work with?
Machteld?
Machteld. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's Dutch as you can get.
That's Flemish. She was Belgian.
Ugh,
like,
whatever.
That's not a common name. Oh, don't say that. Don't offend our Belgian listeners. That's like saying Ireland is part of the UK.
I know,
like
I know.
That.
I was joking. I respect Belgium's nationhood.
Yeah, Amarins is a Dutch name. Shout out to Amarins. But who designed our logo? But it's actually a Frisian name, which is like from the north. So
like
it's not even common in Holland. With like the cows, exactly. Wow, this is turning into a cultural lesson about Holland.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, where I grew up the third time, like the third city like we moved to, so Purmerend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to say this. Like, it's a bit tacky, or like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's the word I was searching for when I was trying to
like,
describe those names, but I didn't know how. They're tacky names. No
it's
offense
more like working.
No offense, or Denise's. No offense.
But it's a bit of a it's very working class, which I think working class people in Holland have a love for. Yeah, American names. So yeah, I was friends with a girl called like Melody and Samantha, and like you could pronounce it like Samantha, but no, her parents wanted her to be called Samantha.
Right.
So that was that was actually quite trendy. But I guess I don't know that yeah.
Yeah, that just interests me. I know that you definitely mentioned someone on our last podcast as well, and I think it was like Estelle or something, or Stella or something like that. And I was like, wow, they really aren't called what I expected them to be called. Anyway,
like, Grito, like yeah,
yeah, something that you have to use your teeth for, you know,
like chew on the name.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I want from a good Dutch name: something I can chew on.
So me and Gemma, that's you. I'm speaking to the public when I'm addressing you.
Okay, thank you.
Me and my lovely friend Gemma, have you met her? We were hesitant to do this film because it's such a classic. I don't know, I just wasn't really up for it. Were you, Gemma? I was debating whether we should do it.
Yeah, me too. Also because part of the reason why it's a weird film to do is that there isn't like a lot of plot. Like,
no,
it's not
actually,
really like
true.
You can say, yeah, you can't, there's not really a lot of like this happened then this happened. It's like more about like
that's
the characterization and the atmosphere. So yeah,
oh
I'm not
gosh.
Really sure what we're gonna say.
This is gonna be a short one, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So you guys are going to be along for this short ride, but we have had a lot of technical difficulties, so we have been recording for like an hour, and wow, it's 8 minutes in.
Yeah, it's not going well. But this episode is cursed. We once recorded an episode about the movie Heathers, and I don't know, we just never published it because it was probably really good, but like
it was really good, and that was complete. That only became cursed in the editing process.
True,
but this episode has become cursed in the recording process. This is like I think probably our third time of trying to record. Like there's been some times when one of us hasn't felt like it. Then Heather's cable broke. Then my cable stopped working. Then basically, yeah, I mean, it's boring, but this is the reality, you know, of being a podcast star.
Yeah, it's not all.
You have technical difficulties. It's not all glitz and glamour and red carpets,
no.
You know?
Oh, no, you think it is, but it really isn't. It's just sitting in your creepy attic by yourself waiting for Gemma to fix your cable. That's reality, that is.
Do you think that the ghost of John Hughes is trying to stop us from recording this podcast because he knows that we're going to, like, talk shit about him and his, like, misogynistic directing, or what?
Well, Gemma, here we go. I think we're going to disagree. I think you're going to hate me for a lot of the things I'm going to say, and I know my opinion.
Oh, God.
My feeling, I can't help it. Like, I'm just going to come right out with it. I think Bender, like, the toxic bad guy, is so hot. Like, he does something to me. I'm sorry. I'm just going to throw out there.
Heather, you are so problematic. You are cancelled. Heather, everyone, this is hashtag Heather is over party. She's cancelled. Goodbye. This is a solo podcast effort from now on. Yeah, it's over.
I think because I saw this movie as a teen, I guess on TV. This is before feminism had hit me, obviously. And
I thought you were just going to say this is before feminism.
I've invented feminism.
Before our podcast invented feminism as a concept, so it didn't exist yet.
Listen up, everyone. Women need equal rights.
You heard it here first.
Scoop in a century. Wow, we're so revolutionary. No, I saw this as a teen, and yes, he's so toxic. I know, like, being 30 and having these goggles on, you know, woke goggles, I know, but I feel like there's a lot of chemistry between him and Molly Ringwald in this movie. Then I read an article, apparently, that they didn't get along at all, and I was like, wow, I've just probably invented that. Yeah. He's bullying her. He's really nasty, well, to everyone, really. He really is. But he's awful. And I know he is in my head, but like my heart is saying no, but my body's saying let's go. You know what I mean?
Maybe there's a price to pay. I'm a genie in a bottle.
Whoa, am I recording this podcast with Christina Aguilera? With ex Dina?
What's up, everybody? It's me, Xtina, in the house.
Anyway, I know he just embodies for me, he's like the most sort of broken, toxic masculinity. Like, this goes against everything I stand for, but I want to fix him. I want to jump into that movie, into that world, and fix that and fix him, which is, I know, is very unhealthy. I know. But I just can't help it. Yeah, I just think he's really hot. And I just want, when Molly Ringwald goes into the closet in the end and sort of kisses him, that still gets me a bit like hot under the collar. Yeah, I know.
What about the rape joke that he makes within like the first 10 minutes of the movie? Does that not like set you up for like being repulsed by him? I'm just going to make my stands kind clear. Of feelings clear yeah, right now, just in case it wasn't clear all along. I don't like the Breakfast Club really as a film.
Oh, really?
No, I think it's, I just, there's nothing, not really because of the whole, like, Bender thing or anything like that, even though I hate Bender as a character, I just think it's boring. And then I think that probably makes me boring because, like, they did obviously play with the concept of the teen movie that it's, like, all set in, like, one place, and like there's no like teen rager, there's no prom, there's none of the usual kind of like markers of teen movie, so it's probably gonna score quite low in bingo. But I don't know, it just doesn't like excite me. Like, I spent the entire film on my phone. I've never liked movies where it's like where everything's in set in like the same setting or like room or building. I've just never enjoyed films like that.
Well, I was gonna say I put down in my notes that I normally hate movies that are set in one place, but this one it's a claustrophobic feeling really. But this movie, I maybe because I was on my period and a bit drunk when I watched it last Sunday, but really hit me in the feels, and it does every time. It starts off really slow. I just think it starts off really slow. There's hardly any dialogue, and just the build up, and I love how they unpeel every character, even the abusive teacher, Mr. Vernon, who's a baddie. But then at one point he has a discussion with the janitor, and even he gets a bit of a character arc, not an arc, but I mean background. Even he gets, so I think that's well done how even the arsehole gets a bit of, you get to see more into his life than you would normally. He's not one dimensional. Everyone has more dimensions, I think. So I think that's really good about this movie, how, like I said, the characters get revealed to the viewer quite slowly, very slowly. I haven't seen it in years. So that's been years ago, obviously. And I thought I was going to hate it, especially because we're so jaded with all the teen movies we've watched. You know what I mean? I feel like my tolerance for what... See, when I talk to my friends and they're like, oh, you should really watch To All the Boys. Like, it's so good. I'm like, no, it's fucking
it's
shit.
Like, yes, bitch. We've watched that. We've watched the sequel. We've discussed it. Like, it's not... Yeah.
Yeah. I think... Yeah, I feel like I'm an expert on teen movies. Yeah, I thought I was going to hate it, but I really, really enjoy it. I enjoy it every time. And I enjoy it as much as the first time I've watched it, which is bizarre. It is boring. It is out of date. But it's not as bad as 16 Candles, for example.
No, that's true.
Like, 16 Candles is a hard watch. Like, I guess it would have been good in the 80s, but with all the rape and the racist characters, that it makes too hard to watch. Whereas this one, I can be like, I don't know. For me, it slips through the fingers.
I don't know. I'm still pretty. I've never had the whole like bad boy, like attraction thing. And Bender's. I've just never like really been into that, and Bender's just such a terrible person that it just kind of ruins the film for me that they end up getting together. Like, I think the film would be fine if they like all kind of learn something about each other, but I think it's kind of contrived that like four out of the five of them end up together at the end. Especially, I mean, it's even weirder that the jock and the basket case are the ones that end up together as well. That, you just don't see that coming. By the way, Heather, I was thinking of you at the end of the film so much, but with all the like kissing in front of their parents' cars.
Oh yeah, thanks. There's a lot of that.
I was like, wow, Heather's gonna hate this.
Oh no, I know. But then Molly Ringwald, what's her name, in Claire, does it on purpose, kind of to rile up her parents, but it's a proper like sexy snog on the bonnet of her mom and dad's car, in the car.
I know.
My parents would be like, "What the fuck?"
Ew.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. So how should we do this? Are we gonna like start from? Are we gonna start from the beginning? I guess we'd better.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, like, but everyone's seen it though. If you haven't seen it, what are you doing listening to a podcast about teen movies, right?
Yeah, exactly. You're clearly not a teen movie aficionado.
No, no.
This is like entry-level teen movie.
It really is. Well, what do you think are entry-level teen movies? What do you think are the staples? What do you think are the movies that, say, a random person who's not a freak like us who loves teen movies would have watched?
Mean Girls, obviously.
Mean Girls,
Bring It On?
No, I don't think so. That's quite niche.
Do you not? I don't think, maybe that's a cultural thing. I feel like every Irish teenager has seen Bring It On.
Because Ireland's full of aspiring teenage cheerleaders. I sure like their pom-poms.
National sport. There's, I think like the kind of more Disney-ish ones, maybe like, a Cinderella Story and like Freaky Friday are probably quite, well, High School Musical. I think High School Musical is probably...
Yeah,
I think High School Musical is probably one that like everyone's seen, but only inside a very certain specific like
age group
generation.
Yeah,
exactly. So then it's hard to know. what are some 90s ones?
I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to say Clueless. That's like a movie that everyone's watched.
Clueless, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true. That's a good
She's
one.
She's All That.
I don't think that many people have actually seen that movie, despite it being like the kind of iconic teen movie. Like most people I mentioned it to, you haven't heard of it.
That's wild. That's fucking wild. Yeah, I know. It's turning 25 this week or next week, or I don't know, soon.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Aww.
Bless. Happy birthday, She's All That.
The film that launched a podcast. Well, that was no, yeah, it was actually Sierra
Burgess,
Burgess
is a Loser.
It was our maiden voyage. She's All That.
the Mayflower of this podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Clueless, Mean Girls, and maybe another 90s one. Oh, 10 Things I Hate About You. People love that movie.
That's true.
I wonder if there's someone who listens to this podcast who has seen all the movies out of their own volition.
If you have seen every movie we've talked about on this podcast, please get in touch because we want to give you like an award or something for being our like number one listener. Like props if you've seen like Teen Witch and Can't Buy Me Love, or like, you know, some of those really random like random 80s ones that we've done. Oh, I'm still like loving Teen Witch. I want to watch that film again.
It was so good, wasn't it? It was so good.
That was a surprise. Shout out to the listener who recommended Teen Witch.
Yeah, please, if you're a listener, recommend us movies in our DMs. Well, we love getting DMs because I'm always baffled that people listen to us who aren't like my mom or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
People are like,
or my dad, who when I was at home for Christmas and I mentioned that I was recording my podcast with Heather, that was probably not our last, that was Crossroads actually. He said, oh, you're still doing that? so much shade. Wow, I couldn't have been more like kind of disgusted. Oh, you're still doing that? Okay.
Well, my mom always listens, and my mom always texts me like, oh, listen to your episode, I really liked it. I didn't know the movie. I'm like, yeah, mom, I'm not surprised. Like, you're a 60-year-old woman. I'm not expecting you to have seen, like, Cinderella's Story, but who knows?
We'd be shocked, Marga, if you were sitting down to watch To All the Boys I've Loved Before.
My mom would love that. Her favourite movie is, like, Shakespeare in Love. Like, that's right up her alley.
It is a great movie. What can I say? I have no arguments.
Oh, anyway. So, Breakfast Club. Yeah, let's keep this short and simple. It's Friday night. I want to get in the booze. You know, Gemma, let's rile through this baby. Yeah. I can spew some, like, problematic, like, comments about Bender, which I disagree with.
Heather doesn't care about getting cancelled. She's just like, I'm just going to say what I feel.
You know what? This is a safe space. I'm in my own attic. There's no one around. I can say this. I just love his big nostrils, you know, and I love his, like... I love a man with a big nose. God, I love a big schnoz. So, like,
yeah, you do, yeah. Yeah, just like my old landlady, that German woman who was obsessed with Adrian Brody.
Sorry, I thought you meant I had the hots for your old landlady.
No, she...
the one with the grapes.
On my final day there, I asked her why she had pictures of Adrian Brody all over at the house, and she simply responded by saying, I love a man with a big nose.
Wowzers. Well... Can't relate.
Yeah, so you and her are like made for each other. You can go out on the pool together. For Adrian Brody and Judd Nelson or whatever the fuck that guy's name is.
I thought he was like, because you know how Charlie Sheen's brother is Emilio Estevez.
Yeah, yeah.
I always assumed that Judd Nelson was part of the family as well for some reason. I don't know, I just must have misremembered this as a teen. But he's not.
Oh no. I would, if I had to guess who was Charlie Sheen's brother though, I would have said him.
Same.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, same.
Yeah, he seems more like Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, God. Ugh. No, that's not going into Charlie Sheen. But
very dark.
Judd Nelson, like, yeah, sorry. I can't help it, Gemma. I'm sorry. It's just society putting that into my head, you know?
Yeah, Heather's been told too many times that boys being mean to you means that they like you. That's kind of the hinge, that's the fulcrum that this film hinges on. It's like, you know, he's just mean to her because he likes her.
Yeah.
And I really don't like that. I really don't like the fact that that's what we tell our children, unlike teenage girls. It sets you up for a horrible way of looking at relationships and opens you up to a lot, putting up with a lot of like abuse and not, I mean, it doesn't have to be like flat out abuse, but just like not being treated the way that you deserve if what you've been taught is that if a guy is mean to you, then he likes you. And I think that Molly Ringwald should wake the fuck up and listen to me say that.
Whoa, I'm listening to you saying that. I'm almost off my crush on Bender, almost. Almost. Maybe to the end of this podcast, I'll be like, ugh. I'm going to go with the
okay, great.
The this jock.
This is cool. So this podcast has now become like a vehicle for my like powers of persuasion.
Yes.
So I'll try and convince Heather of why she shouldn't fancy Bender. Yeah. She should. Yeah. She should like Emilio Estevez for some reason. So boring. So boring.
It's funny when
the most boring character.
He's so boring. He's so like bleh. And then it's funny, yeah, the basket case girl, she gets a makeover. Well, you said this in the beginning of our recording, but she gets a makeover in the last, I'd say, 5 minutes of the movie. And then they've had hardly any conversation. He's shown no interest in anyone, really. And then she gets a makeover and he's suddenly like, whoa, wow. And then they kiss. It's like, you're just thinking, whoa, she's actually hot. Like, yeah. It's so, that's stupid. Like,
it's nuts.
Gemma, admit that their getting together makes less sense than Molly Ringwald and Bender.
Oh, I do. I do. Okay, I freely admit that. It's completely ridiculous. I actually forgot from the first time that I'd watched it that happened. And then when I saw them kiss, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, they don't know each other.
They didn't even have a connection.
No. Yeah, that's stupid. That's a stupid. I love a good makeover, but that.
Yeah, poor Anthony Michael Hall is the only.
He writes the essay.
Just tossed aside. Yeah, he has the like empowering moment of being the one that wrote the essay. But like the other ones just got what teenagers want most, which is sex, and Anthony Michael Hall didn't get any. So
no, bless that him. That sucks. For anyway, him. Okay, let's get into this fucking plot. We'll be all. So,
the listeners are going to love this one. So, it starts on a Saturday morning at 7 a.m.
So early. So early.
I have so many feelings about this, like the fact that they have to do detention at 7 o'clock on a Saturday, and also the fact that they're not supposed to, they can't do homework or study, they just have to sit there.
Like a punishment.
That, to me, is like just sums up like how pointless like school punishment is, and how sometimes it's just like punishment for the sake of it that doesn't teach you anything.
No.
And it's like an extension of America's obsession with carceration. Like, just why would they even make a teacher do that? You know, like a teacher has to go into the school at 7 a.m. on a Saturday just to like supervise these kids doing nothing for 8 hours. Honestly, that is to me nuts. Americans, crazy. I hope that still doesn't happen. If you're American and you've ever had to go to school at 7 a.m. on a Saturday for 8 hours to do nothing, let us know.
DM us.
We think that's fucked up. So it kind of quickly sets up their sort of like personalities. Basically, they're five kind of archetypes of like the classic teen movie, like, you know, cliques or whatever. There's the jock, the princess, the basket case, the brain, and the criminal, I think is how he's officially denoted. But he's like a burnout, kind of like, you know, whatever.
A low life?
Yeah, exactly, Heather. A low life. You don't want to be with a low life, do you?
That's not sudden enough, Gemma.
They've all got detention for one reason or another. Molly Ringwald's is that she bugged off school to go shopping. Anthony Michael Hall's is because he had like a Nerf gun in his locker or something.
A flare gun? I didn't know. My friend was like, what's a flare gun? And I pretended to know what it was. I don't. What's a flare gun?
I guess it's a gun that you use to send up flares.
That's what like, I said. Like in a ship.
You get lost in a forest or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I think Bender's is unclear. He's just like, he just does loads of stuff wrong. And then,
yeah, he's just general bad apple.
Yeah. And then Emilio Estevez, who's called, I forgot his name in the movie.
Oh, who cares, honestly.
But we can't call him Emilio Estevez. That's too much of a mouthful.
We can call him the jock.
Okay, the jock.
We refer to them by their, like, their archetype names.
So the jock is in detention because he actually did what I think is the worst thing. He taped some poor guy's bum together with, like, sports tape. Don't laugh. That's really sad. That scene always made me cry.
Made you cry.
You know, I told you I was drunk and on my period, and I just love this movie.
Yeah, no, it is sad. No, sorry, I did get a little bit emotional when he was talking about how he would have to go home and tell his parents that he got his bum taped together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is sad, but it's also just a funny concept. It's just like funny as like a masculine own, you know, like, I'm gonna tape your bum together.
No, I'm not laughing at that. I thought it was really weird. Because their reasons are kind of like, well, not Molly Ringwald's, the rest of them kind of get revealed throughout the movie, sort of like later on, whatever. I think that's quite good, because you know, like, Molly Ringwald, whose name's Claire in the movie, you know her reason, but then you don't know the other ones for ages. That's kind of keeps the interest, I think, a bit. She want to know, why is the brainiac in there? You know what I mean? Like a goody two shoes. Yeah, what did he do wrong?
That is interesting from the start, actually.
And then the crazy girl, the basket case. I'm just like, okay. She's just an odd character. Like, she's
like performatively very odd.
Yeah, but she grosses me out a bit, what she does with her food, and like, oh yeah, it just makes me a bit like uncomfortable.
What is she like? She like makes a sandwich full of cornflakes or something like that.
Yeah, and she also does a painting and then shakes out all the dry skin from her head like snow. It just yucks me out a bit. Yeah, it's hard to watch for some reason.
Yeah, Emilio Estevez would not fall in love with her.
No,
that's just no matter how hot in the course of a day. No matter how hot she got in like the last 10 minutes.
But yeah, so they're all in there, and then there's hardly any dialogue from the beginning. But also the teacher is supposed to watch them from his little room across the hall. But then Bender, bad boy, hunky bad boy that he is, like, closes, like, makes sure the door isn't able to stay open anymore. So they're kind of free to do whatever, not free to do, but, like, they don't, basically the whole movie is them doing whatever in those 8 hours, you know what I mean? At one point they get high, which I thought was a bit unrealistic. You wouldn't really smoke a blunt if you had never smoked one before in, like, if you're such a goody two shoes, I would never. Like, if that was me, I'd be like, oh god, no, like, I don't want to get into more trouble.
I know. And especially the fact that, like, the athlete
gets really high energy.
He smokes a blunt and then he, like, runs around the whole library, like, taking his shirt off and playing air guitar and stuff. It's kind of like the opposite of what you would actually do
if you were stoned.
Another bad drug depiction from a film. I guess like Anthony Michael Hall just wants to be like cool, you know. He's like learning something about himself that he wants to try new things maybe. But yeah, it is a little bit unrealistic. What's some other stuff that they do? They run around the school, tell each other secrets.
They just do. There's a lot of talking. It's a dialogue heavy movie. It starts off, well, like, obviously Bender's being an arsehole to everyone. I think I just get more and more embarrassed trying to defend this character.
Bender's the one that kind of gets them all really talking to each other, because he just doesn't give a shit. He's like, from the very beginning, he's like trying to kind of stir up stuff between them. Like, I mean, in the first 10 minutes, he says, like, how about we all, like, get this the princess pregnant, or whatever he says about Molly Ringwald. Basically makes a joke about them locking the door and raping her, which
oh, that's pretty rough.
I think you're probably gonna find that hard to defend, I think.
So basically what happens is that throughout the day they uncover that despite them being different people or different backgrounds, or, you know, they have sort of the same stuff in common, like none of them really like their parents. Their parents are all sort of like bad in a way, or they all have their own problems, you know. So I guess that's the take out of the movie, that despite, you know, them being so different, then although I must say, like, Claire's problems are a bit first world problems, you know what I mean?
Well, it's just that her parents are getting divorced.
And then she's like,
hers are like, my parents are getting divorced and my daddy spoils me to annoy my mommy, and then Bender is just like, my dad like puts cigarette butts out on my arm.
Exactly. So
there's a pretty big disparity there.
Yes. And then at one point as well, Anthony Michael Hall, who's got Brian in the movie, asks, because they've been sitting there for hours and hours, and, you know, and then Brian asks, like, oh, would you guys say hi to me? Or, like, what's going to happen? Are we going to ignore each other, or, you know, acknowledge each other? And then Claire is like, I won't. Like,
yeah.
she's like, no, let's face it. I'm going to keep ignoring you guys. And then he's like, you're so conceited. Why are you so conceited? And she's like, you don't understand the pressure that me and Andrew are under. That's the jock. It's like, what? Like, you've got shit friends?
It's
like,
is so, that your it's, problem? It's really funny. It's so like acting. Oh, God, she's going to get a fucking wake up call, like when she has to become a real adult person, like the type of pressure that we're under to only talk to other popular people, like it's really sad. But she's like, I don't feel for her as much. No, me neither. She's like, I'm just being honest. Which in a way, I guess, is true. Like she kind of knows she's a bitch, and she's like, yeah. I'm just being honest. I'm not going to talk to you guys.
That you found out that the basket case is in there for no reason. She didn't have to be there. She had nothing else to do, which is so sad and weird. Isn't
Even
it?
Even if you had nothing better. I don't understand what that means. Nothing better to do. She could be doing, like, just sitting still outside or in her room, like, not at school. But I guess she hates her parents. You don't get to find out enough about her.
No, you really don't.
That's unsatisfying about the film. I really wanted to know more about her. Like, does she actually have a mental illness? Or is she just putting it on? Because, like, at the end, when she comes out, like, all made up and stuff and like kisses the athlete, seems normal, and like it's like kind of a weird, like I want to know if she was just putting that on, because it's a pretty weird thing to put on. And also when they ask her how she feels about her parents, she says like, I hate them because they ignore me, and that's it. That's like all you get.
Yeah, I guess you get the sense that she's troubled, because even if you're sort of putting on a mental a health issue and you didn't have to go to detention but you still went, that doesn't mean I don't think you're comfortable in your own skin if you do that.
Oh yeah, like, no, definitely not. She's definitely not like normal as in like a well-adjusted person. But I wanted to know more about her. She doesn't really get any lines until like halfway through.
She doesn't speak for the whole movie. That's kind of her shtick.
Yeah,
but it makes her And when she starts speaking, she like does this whole story of how she's sleeping with her shrink, and then she's like, "Oh, I'm a compulsive liar!" Ha 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 ha! And everyone's like, "Whoa, weird."
That's what we know about her.
She
reminds me of that one weird girl at school who would always like make up having a boyfriend. Did you have one of those who would always say like that they had like make up that they had a boyfriend like living somewhere like really cool?
Gemma, I did that.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you were that weird girl. Okay.
Well, how do you not know this story?
Interesting.
I must have told you this before. When I was 12 in the first year of high school, I pretended I had an older English boyfriend who was in a band called Busted.
Yeah, you did. Know this. Sorry, you did. Yeah, but 12 is like that's kind of acceptable. I'm literally talking about like 16-year-olds.
Oh yeah, no. I don't know. I don't know, we had one of those.
There was a couple of weirdos in my school who were like that.
No, I don't. But like, or I must have missed it.
Did you know, Heather, that
yes,
the Breakfast Club was originally meant to be the beginning of a franchise? As in it was going to be like a series, and this was supposed to be the first one. And it was supposed
In a TV show?
Like a film franchise. Like it was going to be, it was going to check in with the characters throughout their lives.
No way. That would have been good.
I really think it would. I think obviously the whole point of the film is that you get like a very, very limited look at these characters' lives, and that's kind of it. It gives you the snapshot version, but you learn so much about them. But I would kind of love to know what happened after the I'd love to know what happened after The Breakfast Club, after detention ended. Like, do Molly Ringwald and Bender, like, did Claire and Bender stay together? Do Andrew and Allison stay together? Like, what happens?
Yeah, that would have been good, because you get, like you said, you get such a snapshot, but really compressed one, but then that's it. But that's kind of the joy of this movie, that it leaves you hanging, kind of, because...
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they go to school the next day and then they do ignore each other and they're like, fuck it. maybe just magic of this one day, you know what I mean? That happens when you're a teenager. You do make really intense friendships for like a day or a week, or you know what I mean?
That's what I was thinking when I was watching it, is that like I can imagine like this happening as a teenager, if you were in detention with people that in school you just didn't talk to or didn't like, that you end up being friends for a day and then going back to like not talking to each other, you know?
Exactly.
Like that is the kind of thing that happened when you're like forced into those situations as a teenager.
Yeah,
you've kind of naturally got something in common. You're in the same school, you probably hate your parents, you probably want to do the same shit. Like, I don't know, it's kind of, in a way, that is what makes it wholesome. I feel like you as an adult, you start to lose that like ability to spontaneously make friends with people and stuff like that.
Also, you get to pick your own friends. You're not really forced to hang around with people who you don't like, unless it's like maybe work or something.
That's exactly. Yeah, that's an upside of being an adult, I guess. I definitely had to hang around with people I didn't like.
Stop saying, bitch. I dropped everyone that I knew from school.
Yeah, I didn't really.
I'm out of here, Kelsey and Jermaine.
Yeah. Kelsey, there we go. Another one. That's like the most American name ever.
I know, I told you. That's Permarend all over. Yeah, I remember I was in school. I was in the first year of high school. I was in this girl called Megan. And she had like sex with boys already. Oh, that was a word on the street. Anyway, I was like, oh, this Megan girl, she terrified me. And Chelsea, I was friends with Chelsea. She was friends with Megan. And oh yeah, actually, you're right. I never really noticed this yet. They love American names.
That is crazy.
Yeah, I did tell you I always used to call my Ken dolls. They were always called Brad and Chad and Jeff.
Heather was practicing for this podcast from an early age.
Oh God, yeah. I used to like reenact like Jerry Springer with them.
Oh my
like,
God.
My brother was probably watching that. Yeah,
that
was
so like, inappropriate.
So inappropriate. Like, I think my mom just hoped that we wouldn't know what it was about, really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anyway, so should we just go into the quiz? Let's keep it a short episode.
Yeah, but why not? Yeah.
I drag this bad boy out. Yeah. You still haven't changed my mind about Bender, kind of. I'm always on the verge, oh, but God. I still date him.
I'll try and come up with a little like educational song or something before the end of the episode.
I think what redeems him for me, or what gives his character more body, is when Vernon locks him up in the cupboard and is really like abusing as his power, or what do you say that in English?
Oh, he's like, awful, really... the teacher. He is the real villain. Like, he is and way like, more villainous than Bender.
And you can see really in that moment that Bender is actually kind of has a tiny heart, but has his really like, he's still toxic. Like, I'm not excusing his behavior, but Good. You can kind of see into his psyche a bit more that he's, you know, he's a bit of a hurt little bird. Sorry, I'm so bad explaining this. And then when Molly Ringwald goes into the cupboard, and he does stick up for the, he has some good bits when, you know, they're almost getting caught, and then he sacrifices between, you know, things himself for the group and draws the attention from Vernon away from the group. So he does some good things. He's not all bad. He's an arsehole.
He like sniffs her pants under when he's under the desk.
Yeah, that's bad.
Awful. Yeah, that's... He puts his face between her legs, and he calls her so many names. He calls her a spoiled princess, and he makes a rape joke about her. He's constantly like quizzing her about her sex life in a really invasive and intrusive way, making fun of her for being a virgin. Like, I don't know. I think it's too it's too going along with what John Hughes wants you to do to just forgive him by saying like, oh, there are parts where he shows that he has a heart, you know? I don't know. To me, that's not enough. But it does, it so shows that back then that was enough.
True.
And that's like, I think it's interesting to watch it in that way.
True. And also, I think he's rude to everyone. Yeah, his jokes towards Claire are very sexist, so yeah, that is interesting to see that. And but you know what, these jokes are still made now, I think, and people still think it's fine, not obviously in the circles that we go about.
Yeah, I know,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure there are some people who have watched The Breakfast Club and
don't see anything wrong with him.
Yeah, exactly, like just see him as like a bit of a lad, and like that, you know, like completely go along with that narrative of him kind of just being like a bad boy and a lad and whatever, but he's eventually redeemed by like his, you know, like the fact that he's had a hard life and stuff and that he deserves to be with Molly Ringwald, and don't critique it in like a feminist way at all. But I just think that, you know, the other, I mean, what's her name, Allison, the basket case, she clearly had a hard life as well, and potentially also like abusive parents, and she's like not going around like making rape jokes and being, I mean, that's not something that a girl would usually act out in that way anyway. But I don't know, I just think that we give men too much leeway if they've had like a hard life or whatever, you know. And I think he's a really good film example of that. And the fact that you want to forgive him and take care of him is also a good example of that.
Yeah, you're smashing it with the film critique. Yeah, you're totally right. You're totally right. Yeah,
I've had one gin and tonic, Heather, and I've given up drinking in the week, so this is like this is hitting me, you know.
I think, yeah, but he's rude to everyone in the beginning, and it is more targeted towards her. But I think what really aggravates me is when they're all like revealing, they're all sitting around after they smoked a joint, and it's quite quiet, sort of they're opening up, and then they're like, oh, they're all having a laugh and it's all fun and games, and then they're like, Claire, what's your party trick? And she puts lipstick on or something between her bra,
yeah,
and she's like, don't laugh, guys. And he's so rude for no reason.
I know,
he just makes fun of her. He's so, and she cries and stuff, and everyone's like, whoa, man, that's not cool. That's the only time, well, not the only time, but that's like, whoa, there's no reason for you to be that nasty to someone, like, you know what
I mean?
Yeah,
exactly.
Like,
that's kind of maybe even worse than like the rape jokes and stuff that he makes, because that in the context of the time is just like, oh, being a lad or whatever. But he's so cruel personally to her in that moment that I just find myself wondering, like, how can she then like go to him at the end of the film and be like, yeah, I like you, you know, like he's destroyed her self-esteem. And I just think that it kind of fits with the whole narrative of like maybe she needs her to be taken down a peg or two because she's such a princess, you know. I mean, there are things wrong with that on some level, like she does think that she's better than other people and stuff like that, but it's not up to like a man to like take a woman down a peg or two in a romantic situation. That's not what any relationship should be like founded on, that he's good for you because he makes you think less of yourself.
No, definitely. It's like negging, isn't it? It's like, yeah, it is strange, because I feel what I read into this movie is that I read a lot of chemistry between them. Yes, he's very, makes a lot of jokes.
I agree. I thought there was chemistry between them as well, definitely.
Yeah, like she's disgusted by him, but she also seems intrigued.
Exactly.
Or like a bit like enticed by it. Yeah. Because when he goes up to smoke the joint, she's the first one to get up and like smoke it with him.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Of course.
So she seems to kind of...
He's a bad boy, I think, and she's into it.
But then the lipstick thing, when he's so rude to her, that makes it a bit unbelievable that then she goes to see him straight after. You would want him to show a bit more for friendliness, or a bit more...
I'd be waiting for him to come to me.
She goes in, I don't know how, like, the film doesn't, like, tell you how she knows where he is, but anyway, we'll skip that. But she goes in, and then she kisses him, because he makes a lot of jokes about, he just haggles her for being, like, a virgin, or pristine, or, like, prude, you know, but even now, you know, back in the days, the basket case, Allison says something, like, that it's a double-edged sword. If you say you've had sex, then you're a slut, but if you don't, then you're a prude. And I was like, wow, that's still... rings today, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's kind of sad.
That's what's so weird, like lots of John Hughes films seem to like acknowledge like that kind of like acknowledge the inequality of the time and the like injustices that especially teenage girls face when it comes to sex, and that you can't like do right for doing wrong, but at the same time he completely undermines any like point that he has to make
about that by like giving these male characters a free pass to literally like rape women when they're passed out and like make many offensive comments and then in the end kind of be redeemed by love. So it's weird. He does very much know what's
going
on. Yeah, which kind of makes it worse, but
yeah,
anyway,
it really does.
It was a different time.
Well, let's hope we'll get better. We keep asking Gen Z to like, we've made the way clear. Now you lead the way.
Should we do this quiz?
Say, like,
oh, sorry.
Let's do this quiz. No, sorry. I'm just gonna say that when she goes in to see him, she kisses him in the neck, and he looks so forlorn and genuinely surprised by that.
Yeah,
and he's like, why'd you do that? And she goes, because I know you wouldn't. I quite like this.
Yeah.
She's taken sort of control. She obviously finds him attractive.
Clearly, yeah.
She's not forced. I think it would be weird if he went in to seek out her. Then you're like, oh no, this guy is a bit rapey.
That's true. That's true in a way, actually. It does. I guess it does kind of turn the tables a bit in that she's the one that ends up coming on to him.
Yeah. She does. Anyway, let's do this quiz. Okay, Gemma, what does Molly Ringwald give the character of Bender when... after she snogs him in her on the top of her parents' car?
It's an earring. It's one of her diamond earrings.
Ding, ding, ding. Well done, Gemma.
Thank you.
What's the janitor called?
Oh, God. You haven't multiple choice them, so this is really hard.
Oh I'm sorry.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Okay, well, this isn't much of a quiz then.
I can't read my own handwriting, sorry.
Oh, God, guys, Heather is not as good as these quizzes as me. I've pre-prepared with multiple choice answers. The janitor's called Carl, by the way. I just looked it up, so.
Oh.
Just in case any of the listeners were wondering.
Okay, what's the name of the band? Name the band and the song that, like, is the general, like...
generally associated with the Breakfast Club.
Yes.
So it's Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds.
Extra bonus point if you can say where they're from.
Who? Simple Minds?
Yeah.
Chicago?
No, Scotland! My friend
Sorry.
Used to date the drummer's daughter.
That's probably quite embarrassing that I didn't know that. The reason I said Chicago was because I thought you might be linking it to where the actual film is set. I didn't realise it was a personal connection. Sorry.
And shame on you, Scotland is booing you. And so that song, this is a bit of a difficult question for you, but I'm gonna, you know, you're a teen movie like fanatic, you're gonna know this. The Simple Minds song and generally the Breakfast Club, in what sort of like teen movie from the past, let's say 10 years, does that play a big part?
I actually, have we done it?
No, it's a generally loved movie. People think it's good.
I feel like I do kind of know the answer. I think I'm going to kick myself when you tell me what it is, but I can't get it right now.
Have a guess! Have a guess!
Have a guess! Have a guess!
Have a guess! Where is that from? Have a guess!
I think it's from Catherine Tate.
It's Catherine Tate, yeah. Have a guess!
See, I would have got that really easily.
That's not the question.
That's not the question! Heather's such a cruel quizmaster.
Doom for you! Into the pit, into the fire pit.
A well-loved film that everyone loves. Can you give me a clue?
Oh no, because you're going to get the movie if I give you the only clue I can think of.
Go on, just give me a little clue.
Anna Kendrick.
Pitch Perfect.
Yes, Pitch Perfect.
Okay, I would
never... That was
never,
too big of a clue. You're not getting a point
that.
For that.
I didn't think that that was a well-loved movie.
What did you think it was?
I thought it was a teen movie.
Isn't Pitch Perfect... Which adults watch Pitch Perfect?
I don't know. I
loves David Guetta.
Look, like, I don't know. I watched like the first 15 minutes of it and I thought it was one of the worst films I've ever seen. So.
It's so crap, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Oh,
people
so you
love
do
that
think
movie.
It's crap. Okay, well, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's good.
No,
I say
it's
a well... People with bad taste like it. I hate it. I don't get it. I even watched part two and I was like, why am I watching this?
We're making so many blanket statements to really offend the listeners now. People with bad taste like Pitch Perfect. Okay, any more
anyway,
questions?
Let's do bingo.
Okay.
No, that's it.
No.
Sorry, I'll
yeah,
do better than
I didn't
next
do
quiz.
Very well there.
is clumsy.
No. Dead parent? No, none of them have dead parents, just like shitty ones. Hollywood dad? No. I guess Molly Ringwald's dad is kind of a Hollywood dad, but then it's revealed that he's a Hollywood dad for the wrong reasons, so no. None of this film is very, like, Hollywood-y. Sexual assault? Hello, Yes, by Heather's... Love.
Sorry.
Fender, yeah. I just didn't think Heather would ever be coming on this podcast to declare her love for somebody who made the bingo bell ding for sexual assault, but she is. Mean Girl Redemption, kind of, because Molly Ringwald. Yeah, is kind of would be the mean girl in like the normal school situation. Blanket heteronormativity, yes. Dream bedroom, no bedrooms in this school. Makeover scene, yes, actually.
Yes. Yeah,
Allison gets made over by
Very famous
Claire.
One.
Crazy Teen Rager, no.
No.
Annoying Sibling, no.
No.
Prom, no.
No.
You're Throwing Away Your Dream?
No.
No.
Maybe.
Is there kind of with the kind jock?
A hint of that,
of
the jock.
A little, yeah.
And
no,
the Brainiac
actually,
as well.
Not really, actually, because he said that his dad mainly gets annoyed with him for the fact that he's not, like, rough enough. So it's not really like Throwing Away Your Dream, I guess. And Quirky Male Friend, I guess Anthony Michael Hall could be the Quirky Male Friend of everyone.
Yeah, there's
in the
not
film.
The way we mean it, no.
No, okay, so that got a measly 10 points out of 30. So yeah, we knew that was going to be a low score.
Yeah,
it's very different to your classic teen movie. But yeah, that's The Breakfast Club, you guys. We've somehow been recording this for an hour, even though we never actually covered the plot.
Who cares?
I mean, you just talked. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please follow us on Instagram, Yes Another Teen Movie, and Twitter, Yes Another Teen. And please, please, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We love to read your reviews, and it helps other people to find our amazing podcast. So yeah, if you're not too offended by the things that we've said today about the names Naomi and Denise and also liking Pitch Perfect, then please stay and be our fans. We love you.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, Gemma. Bye.